chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. God's word says, beginning in verse 10, chapter 2 of the book of Luke, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This evening, I want to preach on these simple two words, fear not. I have a word of prayer, and again, we'll have a word of prayer, and see, we'll have a special. Let's pray. Father, I love you and thank you now. I thank you for loving us. Thank you again for how good it is to serve you, Lord. I pray that you would bless, be with this special. I pray be help to prepare the hearts for the preaching. Lord, I need your help desperately this evening, Lord. I pray give me the words to say. I pray, Holy Spirit, you speak to the hearts as only you can. Help the dear people tonight. I thank you again for the privilege we have to serve you. I thank you, Father, for the honor it is to be in church tonight. I thank you for the free country we have, where we have the liberties and the freedoms to actually be in church, to hear your word preached. God, help us to take what's been preached tonight and apply it, Lord. And Lord, only you can do the work in the hearts, and I pray you would. We love you and thank you. Now, also we ask in your name, amen. God bless you, folks. And be seated.
Jason had asked me to sing once we got here, so I didn't bring any Christmas music. But for some reason, this song is the first thing that came to my mind. Is, I guess, as he mentioned in the message this morning, of telling others of the greatest gift that he gave us. And I always think of when we pass on that gift, it's a gift that'll keep on giving. And so I hope this song is encouragement to you. If there's somebody you don't know that knows Jesus as their personal Savior, this is, like you said, it's the wonderful opportunity. So I hope this song's a blessing to you. The love of God is broader than earth's vast expanse. 'Tis deeper and wider than the sea. Love reaches out to all to bring abundant life. For God so loved the world, His only Son He real to you. Every moment, every day, all those who have trusted in God's only Son and hold this precious treasure in their heart, seek ways to make it known to all to know, for God so loved the world, His only Son He gave. We show the love of God each day we live, reveal Christ's presence in our lives, and how the Holy Spirit guides us daily. Every minute,
Amen. Thank you, Anna. I kind of put her on the spot, kind of made her sing, and so she's like, all right. I appreciate Anna doing that. All right, Luke chapter 2. You know, funny that I was thinking of when she was singing that song, it's not part of the message, but verse 17 says this. After the shepherds had seen Jesus Christ, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They saw the Savior, they told everyone else about him. That's what it's all about, folks. When you get saved, when you are exposed to the Savior, when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, how can we not tell anyone else the greatest gift of all? Amen. That's what Christmas is all about, folks. Praise the Lord. God bless you. All right. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11 this evening. This evening, as we turn our thoughts once again to the Christmas story, I want to focus, if I can, on a phrase that's found four times in this Christmas story. And when I say Christmas story, I'm referring to Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 1. And in that phrase I'm referring to is two words, which is the title of the message, simply this: fear not. You'll see that phrase found four different times in the Christmas story. Fear not, four different times there. Or meaning, don't be afraid. We know that the story of the birth of the Savior is one of the most amazing true stories in the Bible. We have sung songs because of it. We have put on Christmas plays and cantatas as a result of it. We read the story from the Bible on Christmas morning. And even all society, I believe, seems to almost transform in a sense. They get a little bit more softer because of the wonderful time of the year representing the birth of Christ. We love the story. We love the Christmas story. I know I, for one, love reading, preaching, teaching the Christmas story. When I got saved, folks, Christmas time became completely different to me. It was no longer about the gifts, no longer about the lights, no longer about the hoopla or the pomp and circumstance of Christmas. Christmas time became all about the Savior. Praise the Lord for it. And I love preaching on the birth of Christ, but again, this is not the message. If you're really going to preach on the birth of Christ, you also got to preach on the cross as well, because he came to die, and we understand that. So I just want to mention that as a side note tonight. But again, if you read the story here, if you read the Christmas story, you'll realize that there were several times when some of the people involved were genuinely afraid or fearful. And in all four of these situations tonight here, I'm going to mention to you, God sent an angel to tell the people involved, fear not. All four times, when the words were used, fear not, it was an angel that God had sent to remind the people, don't be afraid, or as the verses say, fear not. Now let me say a couple of things by way of introduction before we look at these four situations this evening. I'm going to say a couple of things by way of introduction. The first is this: God does not give us a spirit of fear. God does not give us a spirit of fear. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, if you would. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God does not give us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. It says this: for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Folks, we really need to take fear for what it is. It is not an emotion or not something from the Lord. He is not the one giving us a spirit. The Bible is very clear, black and white. It does not come from God himself. Either our flesh or Satan himself, it does not come from God. But if we're honest, maybe I'm the only one that raised my hand tonight. If we're honest, all of us deal with it. That emotion hits us at certain times in our lives when maybe the very traumatic experiences happen. It comes. And maybe that's why God put that verse in there to remind us that the fear we're experiencing does not come from him. So having said that, God does not give us a spirit of fear. Let me say secondly, to build off the first thought and introduction here, the second is because God does not give us a spirit of fear, we shouldn't make decisions because of that fear. Do you hear me? Listen, friend, because God does not give us a spirit of fear, we shouldn't make decisions because of that fear. I think of King Zedekiah over there in Jeremiah chapter 38. Now I'm going to kind of sum up this whole story, if I can. In this story here, King Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon were coming to Judah to take the people away, to take them to Babylon, because of what happened was their sin against God, getting caught up in idolatry, adultery, just getting away from God, getting away from God's man. Because of that, God said, all right, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to send judgment. He sends Nebuchadnezzar over to Judah to take him captive. King Zedekiah knows they're coming because Jeremiah had foretold it in his preaching over and over and over again. And King Zedekiah, he comes to Jeremiah and he asks Jeremiah what to do. He says, Jeremiah, what am I going to do? And Jeremiah tells him, he says, listen, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come to Judah, king. And what you need to do, number one, you need to surrender to him. Don't try to run. Surrender to him. And if you do that, what's going to happen is, number one, your city will be spared. It will not be burned. You and your family will be spared. Yes, you'll be caught in captivity. You'll be prisoners, if you will, but you will not be killed. Your lives will be spared. But Zedekiah, if you try to run away from Nebuchadnezzar, this city will be burned, and you and your family will suffer serious retribution because of it. So So Jeremiah lays it out plainly. Listen, hey king, don't run. I know you're going to be scared. You have an army, a humongous army coming after you with horses, with chariots, with spears, with shields. But don't be scared, king. Just listen to what I'm telling you. Surrender. And that happens just as Jeremiah said, Nebuchadnezzar comes. And what does King Zedekiah do? Go to Jeremiah 39, verse 4. Jeremiah 39, verse 4. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw Nebuchadnezzar and the armies of Babylon coming after them, and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out of the way of the plain. The king did exactly what Jeremiah said not to do. Why? All because of one word here. Look, folks, I'm talking about something that hits every single one of us close to home often. We're honest. Maybe I'm the only one that deals with it. I don't know. I think all of us, we're all human beings. We all struggle with fear from time to time. But be careful. Don't make decisions because of fear. Look, and let me give another example. I think of Peter over there in Matthew chapter 14 when he walked on water. Most of that story there. As long as he looked at Jesus Christ, he was fine. But the moment Peter looked at the storm instead of the God who could control the storm, verse 30 says he was afraid, and that's when he began to sink. And again, when he saw the storm, there was fear in his heart, but when his eyes were on Jesus Christ, there was no fear. My friend, listen to me. I understand we're human. Our flesh, when we get nervous, get scared, our first situation is to act irrationally, act without thinking, without praying, coming to God. The greatest thing we can do in a case of fear is stop and go to the Lord. The best thing you can do. By the way, that's good counsel for myself as well as all of us in this room. Because we all struggle. And we're going to see here in a moment, because of the fear that these people were experiencing concerning the birth of Christ or the Christmas story, some of them were going to make the wrong decisions. So let me look into it. Now, if I can, I'll make one more final thought if I can before we get into the story this evening. In all four instances in the Christmas story, when the words "fear not" were mentioned, God had used an angel to say those words to the specific people. I already mentioned that already. God sent an angel all four times to say, "Fear not," to these people who were thinking about making the wrong decision or not following what they were supposed to do. However, today God doesn't use angels in a sense to specifically talk to us and say, "Fear not." He uses things like his word and other saved Christians to give us peace in the storm, to remind us to fear not. I think of verses like Psalm 27, verse 1. It says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Good verse to circle, friends. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Both times in the verse, the word fear and afraid is mentioned. The psalmist said, "Listen, I know who my Savior is. I know whom I have believed and persuaded. If you are saved, my friend, God is your strength and security for all eternity. It's a lot of security knowing if you're born again, you know where you're going. Another verse about this matter of fear, Psalm 34, verse 4. I love this one. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." And that's a great verse circle because, listen, again, if you're in a time of despair, when we seek God, listen, God's not necessarily going to answer your prayer right away, but he can deliver you from fears right away. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I understand Psalm 34, verse 4, that verse says, it doesn't say he delivered me from my problem. He delivered me from my fears. Fear is a strong emotion. It can really mess up your life if you follow it. And the psalmist said, I sought God. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Go into prayer to the Lord. The problem might not be solved, but he'll give you peace. Let me get another one. Psalm 56, verse 4. Psalm 56, verse 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Again, you see a person putting their trust in God. Look at trust. I have said it before. Trust is more like an action word. Trust is something you do. If you really trust someone, you're going to do what they say. Caleb, run over here if you want. I was looking at him. Come on, run here. I don't have my handkerchief with me. I love this illustration. We did it at camp when I was younger to teach the kids about the matter of trust. Look, you can say you trust somebody. Okay, you can say a lot of things, but do you really mean it? So I'm going to say, Caleb, do you trust me, bud? All right. So, I'm going to put your hands over your chest like this, buddy. Okay, I'm going to have you way back here. I want you to fall back. I'm going to see. Not yet, though. I'm going to see how much he really trusts Dad. All right, when I tell you, I'm going to fall back if you would. Go ahead. All right, good. All right, now, if he didn't trust me, what would have happened was he probably would have put his foot back, right? So I don't trust Dad. Dad's going to drive me. Dad's weak or Dad's old. One of those things, you know. Old is a bad word. But look, hey, the kid trusts me. I paid him money before I do that, so he'd do that. But anyway, look, hey, the idea of trust, if you really trust somebody, you're going to do something about it. Look, hey, we see these verses when we believe them. In God, I will praise his word, and God, I have put my trust. I think of David. Look, I love these stories. These are real stories. Really happened. I think of the young man David, who was facing the well-skilled veteran soldier Goliath, who was about 9.5 feet tall. I think, Miss Darlene, when you did Goliath and David, you had the big cutout, and it really put things, I think it was humongous. Remember, I think we were carrying that thing out of there. I was like, holy cow, he's huge. Like, way up there. Little David against big Goliath. This really happened. And again, here's a man, we know he put his trust in God. How do we know that? Not because of what he said, because of what he did. Because he acted in that manner. He ran after Goliath, as the story tells you. And I think of in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 and 46, it says this, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, as David talking now, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I don't know if David was scared. He might have had some fear. He might have looked at Goliath, who's 9.5 foot tall, thinking, man, this guy's humongous. How am I going to take him? Goliath has 45 kills or 100 kills. I have no kills. All I killed was a bear and a lion. But I believe God can help me. His knees might have been shaking a little bit. It's possible. But he didn't cower and go the other direction. He ran after the enemy. Look, folks, when you trust God, you're going to act like it. Now, I'm not going to be too hard on folks tonight. Some of you might honestly say, Pastor, I want to trust God. I do. But it's hard. Because when that time comes, when I'm staring that giant in the face, the giant of maybe my situation with my financial issues or my relationship issues or my health issues or things out of my control, I really want to trust God. But it's hard. Best thing you do at that point is go to the Lord in prayer. Follow that Bible and take a step towards them. Don't cower and go the other direction. If your first reaction is to do something you know you shouldn't do in terms of the fear, is stop and don't do it. Take a step towards it, if you would. So we see here with David, he saw his trust. I think of Gideon, who had 300 men against 135,000 Midianites, Amalekites, and children of the east, according to Judges chapter 8 and verse 10. 300 to 135,000. Man, you are well outnumbered. And yet, in Judges 7:15, this is what Gideon says to his men, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Not one Midian had died yet. No one, we know Gideon trusted God. Why? Because he not only said it, he did it. He did what God had said. My point being, folks, we have trust in God's word. We have security in our salvation. We have confidence in the fact that God blesses in the past and he can do it again. Let me say one more thing in this introduction before I get to the points here tonight. And we have the assurance. We have the assurance that God blesses our obedience. Look, if I can put it, your obedience to God is a security blanket. God blesses obedience. 2 Samuel 22, verse 24 and 25 says this. This is David talking. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. 2 Samuel 22, verse 24 and 25. I'm going to read those two verses again to you. I was also upright before him, this is David talking, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. He kept himself from sin, best of his ability. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. David is saying, because I was obeyed the Lord, I was obedient to God, God blessed me according to my obedience. Folks, listen, I said it so many times. God blesses obedience. He blesses it. Now, friend, there are going to be times we're going to be fearful and afraid. And if we're honest, we'd agree to that. But God, listen, God knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust, and he gives us tools to help us battle that fear. Precious word of God, that thing of prayer, other godly people who can encourage you. I gave a story once before how when I was about to head to Bible college, and I lost my job before Bible college. I knew I was going to Bible college. I had no job, no way to pay for my family, to put food on the table. I remember going to Brother Gerber over there at Heritage Baptist Church in Wallingford, Connecticut. I went out for soul winning because I knew I needed to be faithful to the Lord no matter what was going on. Tuesday night, I go out soul winning, and Brother Gerber's there, and he can tell I was distraught. I said, Brother Munkowski, what's wrong? I said, I just lost my job. I never lost a job before in my life. It was very, very, very insecure feeling, having no place, no work to take care of my family. I'm like, Brother Gerber, I got a family to care for. I'm supposed to go to Bible college. What in the world? I don't know what I'm going to do. And Brother Gerber, all he said was this, man, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. I never forgot that. It was like there's a peace of God came over me. Yeah, you know what? I haven't even gone to God yet. Here I'm so worried about the emotion of losing my job. I haven't even thought to go to the Lord yet. And God always blesses obedience. Just stay faithful in him. Stay obedient to the Lord. He'll take care of it. So again, God gives us tools to help us battle that fear. All right, so let me get into these four thoughts here this evening. The first one is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Luke 2, verse 9 to 11. And I'm going to give subtitles to all these different fear nots. The first subtitle is this, the fear not of what happens after the grave. The fear not of what happens after grave. Look at Luke 2, verse 9 to 11, if you would. It says this, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The shepherds, we understand, they were taking care of these sheep here out in the field, and out of the blue comes an angel of the Lord, and the Bible says they were scared, they were sore afraid. And the angel reassured them by saying, fear not. And the angel goes on to say to the shepherds, I'm paraphrasing now, don't be afraid, I'm here for good reasons. Or he says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And what he tells them is a Savior is born. And again, a Savior is born. Listen, I don't have time to go into who those shepherds were and how special they were. But the angel was saying is, salvation is here, and it's in the form of a baby called Christ the Lord. Now let me make an application from this if I can to you, my friend. If you have salvation, like I said here earlier, if you have security of eternal life, of a home in heaven, you are on the winning side. On the winning side. Look, I am just like the guy next door in a sense. I want to live a long life and a peaceful life. In fact, Romans 12:18 says this, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I like to live peaceably, live in a country of peace. I'm thankful for the freedom I have. I don't want to have to hide in a cave or go underground church. We have to, we will, but I'm thankful for this country. We have freedom. I praise God for it. I'm thankful to have that wonderful flag. I'm thankful to have that lapel pin of the American flag here on my chest. I praise God to be an American, the best country on the planet. Praise the Lord. And I want to live peaceably. But if persecution comes, we see Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10, verse 28, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear them which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I know no matter what happens, if this country, I live peacefully until the time I go to heaven, or if Jesus Christ returns now with a rapture, and I have a peaceful life, if you will, I know, praise God, I'm going to heaven. But if everything falls apart, if the government goes crazy, and if things go against our church and persecution comes like nothing we've seen before, if that happens, I still know I'm going to heaven. Heaven's my home. No one can take that from me. Look, my friend, you might say, Pastor, you're losing your mind. That's true. I probably am losing my mind. But let me tell you something, folks. You'll never lose heaven, ever. Look, you're saved. It's a security for all eternity. You're never going to lose that. That might become a security blanket for you one day. In the sense that if things go crazy, heaven's your home, my friend. Just passing through. I can't take credit for this quote, but if you ever call my cell phone, at the end of my cell phone, the last phrase is, keep looking up. There was an evangelist named Joe Boyd. And Joe Boyd, I remember him saying it often, keep looking up. And I'm not referring to keep your chin up, although you can take it that manner. What I'm referring to is keep looking up, because he might be coming back at any moment. Look, if you're saved, you know where you're going, friend. By the way, it's so important to see your children get saved, your loved ones get saved, your neighbors get saved, because, praise God, you know where they're going as well. Amen and amen to that, as what was sung earlier. So don't be afraid of the future. Whatever that holds, we have salvation. Number two, let me look at the second fear not, if I can. Number two, the second one is found in Luke chapter 1. Look at three verses, Luke 1, verse 30, verse 35, and verse 37. Luke 1, verse 30, 35, and 37. And I'm going to say this, the fear not of the fact that it is not possible. The fear not of the fact that it is not possible. Luke 1, verse 30, verse 35, and verse 37. In verse 30 it says this, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Listen, here in these verses again, the angel Gabriel, he says to Mary to not be afraid, or he says, fear not, because why? God is the God of the impossible. He is able. He's able, my friend. He can do it. He's able. His will is going to happen. And he can supernaturally allow a woman who is pure to become pregnant and with a child. And I kind of say to you, my friend, we still serve a God of the impossible. He is still able. Verse 37, something we should circle in our vocabulary, put in the back of our minds, because when those hard times come, we're going to need that verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Listen, the same God who made the barrel of meal and cruse of oil to miraculously remain for that woman of Zarephath, that widow of Zarephath, can make your grocery money stretch when times are tough. Praise the Lord, Brother Keeney, and your shrimp scampi you had that one time in Bible college. Hey, the same God who sons of the prophet and couldn't pay her bills to get the money to pay her creditors, and was going to lose her sons. And the prophet says, "Hey, take all your oil, get all the oil, all the pots you can, and pour the oil into all the pots you can. Then pay your bills." And God did the miracle and gave her the money to pay her bills. That same God, my friend, can do the impossible and help you to get what you need as well. We serve the God of the impossible. Hey, the same God who heard the prayer of a king who had a terminal disease and was told that he was going to die, he turned his head to the wall and he begged God, and God heard his prayer, and he gave him 15 more years of life to live. Hey, that same God can heal all our diseases. Is he able? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. We serve the God of the impossible. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You can do the impossible. Some of you right now are facing impossible situations. Right now are dealing with things that maybe you have not made public. Maybe you won't make public. Maybe some of you right now, things are going on maybe at work, your relationship, maybe your health, finances, something. But right now it's out of your control. You can't fix it. And you need God to intervene in a miraculous way. Serve the God of the impossible. Don't be afraid. Fear not. That's what the angel said to her. Mary, fear not. Don't be afraid. He didn't yell at her. He didn't scream at her. He knew what she was, human being. Fear not. Number three, the third one. Go to Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Luke 1, verse 13. I kind of alluded to it already. Luke 1, 13. My third subtitle is this. The fear not of does God hear my prayers? The fear not of does God hear my prayers? Luke 1, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not. There it is. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Here Gabriel again, he comes to Zacharias, who we know is the father of John the Baptist, and tells him to fear not, to not worry. Why? Because God has heard his prayer. God's in control, and God will take care of it. Again, I said earlier, having that peace that God is in control and deliver us from fear. Forgive me for saying the same verse again, but Psalm 34, verse 4, such a wonderful verse. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. That's why it's so important to do right by God, because Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. A person lives a sinful life, a Christian lives a sinful life, you're breaking the fellowship. You'll never lose your salvation, but you're breaking that fellowship with God because of your iniquity. I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. And praise God for the Christian who tries to live holy and righteously. And you know, when you pray to God, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Jeremiah 33, 3. I've quoted this verse so many times. I have claimed this verse. I have used this verse. This verse has helped me. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know what I love about the verse? The end of it is wonderful. I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But the sweetest part of the verse is right after call unto me. It says, and I will answer thee. The God who spoke the world in the sixth, who spoke the world into being in 6 days, said, if you call me, I'm going to answer you. You're not. Don't be afraid. I heard your prayer. I might not answer the way you want. I might not answer the time you want, but you know it's been heard. You know it's been received. You know you have a God who loves you and cares for you and desires the best for you in that regard in terms of living a godly, righteous life. And if you know he has your prayers, there's comfort in knowing the God of heaven has heard my prayers. I can rest in the fact he's in control. By the way, that's something we need to remind ourselves over and over again. That fear is strong. God hears my prayers. It has been received. Off the coast of Massachusetts that a submarine had sunk. It was an S-4 submarine. And when it sunk, there was a horrible disaster, and all the people on the submarine were stuck in that submarine, almost like a human grave, sunk to the bottom. And they sent divers down to try to get the people out from inside the submarine. And they couldn't get them out. It was a lot of problems. They couldn't get in the submarine. They tried everything they could. They tried for days, up and down, trying to get the people out. It was to no avail. The people, those sailors who were stuck in the submarine, were still in there. They could not get them out from that submarine. And one of the divers went down there, and he happened to hear something funny in the submarine. And it was coming from within. He thought, the more he heard it, he's like, you know, this is coming from within the submarine. He heard knocking on the submarine. But it was knocking. It wasn't a random knocking. It actually was knocking in a code. It was Morse code, SOS. And as he was listening, as the diver got closer to the submarine, and he heard the knocking, he put his ear up to the submarine, and he's trying to make out the words, and he got it. And the words were this: "Is there any hope?" Someone from inside was tapping that in Morse code. And the reason I bring that illustration to your attention, folks, there's always hope when God hears your prayers, my friend. There's always hope knowing God's in control. Listen, hey, when you pray to him and you try to do right by him and try to honor him, you put your prayers out, you know he got your prayers, he received your prayers, you can rest in that. You're not. I've heard your prayers. Last one. Last fear not this evening. Kind of touched on it. I already alluded to it several times already. The fear not of does obeying do me any good? Does obeying do me any good? Go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 24. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 24. says this. But while he, that's Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, and saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for thou which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 24. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. You know the story. I've already preached on Joseph once before. But Joseph was minded to put away and end this relationship with Mary. And yet the angel came and said, don't be afraid. This is of God. Take her to be your wife. She's telling you the truth. And I'll quote to you again, 2 Samuel 22:25. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. Folks, listen, there's assurance that God blesses obedience. Folks, I said it so many times in the message already tonight. He blesses obedience. I remember a time, I'll never forget, I was listening to a preacher. I was sitting in church one night, back when I was a youth pastor there in Bourbonnais, and I remember a preacher was preaching, with Pastor Angel, or another preacher was preaching. I'll never forget, he was preaching. He said this, I'll never forget the statement he made. He said, if I ever lost my job, if I ever had a bad health situation, if I had something that was a real need and I really needed to get a hold of God, obviously I'd go to my prayer closet. Obviously I'd try to be my Bible. But one thing I would do is I would try to live obedient as I could, because I know God blesses obedience. He said, listen, I'll never forget what he said. He said, I would go to every single soul winning meeting. I'd be in every single service, but make sure I was tithing, living for God, because I want to let God know, hey, listen, God, I'm being obedient to you. And God said in 2 Samuel 22, verse 25, according to my cleanness in his eyesight, he blesses according to how we live our life. Obedience to him. He blesses obedience. I'll never forget that statement from that preacher. A verse that's often been a comfort to me is Psalm 34, verse 15, that says this. The eyes, actually turn there if you would. Go to Psalm 34, 15. Psalm 34. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. I'm always amazed at verses like that when the God of heaven, he freely and willingly and voluntarily puts in his word, his ears are open to our cries and his eyes are upon us. He's humbled. Even God watching us, concerned, we cry out to him. On the righteous, save the godly, who live in righteousness. He always blesses us. So I'm done this evening. We understand as humans, we'll fall prey to that emotion of fear from time to time. But in reality, listen, fear not should be the common theme, and should be the common theme and thought in our life. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Four different times mentioned in the Christmas story, and all four times, when the people were having fear and doubt and even going to make the wrong decision, the angel said, don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. We have salvation. We have a God who can do the impossible, even in 2019 and beyond. We have a God who can answer prayers and desires to do so. We have a God who sees and blesses our obedience. I think there's good reason for us to fear not. But again, I understand. Maybe tomorrow you might wake up and something bad might happen. The first thought that goes to your mind is the thought of fear. First emotion that kind of controls you, grips you, is a thought of fear. That can happen. We're human. It's then you do not want to make decisions based on that fear. Go to that precious word. Go to the Lord. Go to some godly Christian and give you counsel and give you right direction. That fear will lead you astray. But understand, my friend, fear not. Don't be afraid. Let me ask you all to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands.